From Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta, the thinking man, St. Albert, it's the Irrelevant Show!
Up next on the WTF Network, Storage Battles.
Okay, once again, you're bidding on an abandoned storage locker.
Yeah, can you tell us anything about the owner?
Well, Big Sal, I can tell you that they work in the television industry.
Ooh, I bid 500.
I'll go 700.
1,000.
$3,000.
Okay, that's 3,000 going once, twice.
Too rich for my blood.
Sold to Big Sal for 3,000.
All right, okay, let's open her up here and... Okay, let's look at these books here. Okay, well, I've read most of these. Okay, some records here. Oh, I had this one in high school. Well, this one, I had this. Wait a minute, this is my storage locker, isn't it?
It has now been more than 3,000 years since God gave the law to Moses when he revealed the Ten Commandments. And now, the Irrelevant Show proudly presents 9 more Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not wear a crop top, nor jeans so low thy whale tail is exposed.
Thou shalt learn the difference between reply and reply all.
Thou shalt not live with thine parents past the age of 30, for even thine parents deserve some alone time.
Thou shalt not take pictures of thy baby in a fruit basket, for there is only one Ann Geddes, and thou art not it.
Thou shalt not wear jeans when you ski.
Thou shalt not stand in the front row of a concert if you are over 6 feet tall.
If thou art a server, thou shalt not squat at the table whilst taking an order.
Thou shalt not microwave fish at work.
In the workplace, thou shalt not microwave fish. I know we just said that, but it's a big one.
This has been 9 more Ten Commandments on The Irrelevant Show.
Just wonderful. Everyone, all right. Take a seat and let's officially begin today's proceedings of the Mill Creek Book Club. Everyone have a scone? Excellent. So let's start with Gary. Gary, what did you think of Catcher in the Rye?
Well, I found it very readable.
Fascinating observation, Gary. What made it readable for you? Was it the language, the characters?
The font. It has a very readable font.
Oh yeah.
I liked holding it on the bus in public. I knew that other people could see me reading it, and it made me feel... What's the word I'm reaching for?
Sophisticated.
No.
Intellectual?
It's like intellectual.
Smart.
Yeah, smart. It made me feel smart.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part was how Star-Lord was really nice to the aliens.
Oh, yeah. Yes, very much so.
That's the movie Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Which is what I watched instead of reading this book.
Yes. I'm starting to wonder if perhaps no one read the book.
Oh, I think that's possible.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't do the work, then we're just a group of people sitting in a circle who haven't read a book.
Scenes like this one are playing out all around the world. Book club after book club, filled with people who just pretend to have read the American classic, Catcher in the Rye. Hi, I'm J.D. Salinger. And just last month, the 30 millionth person pretended to have read Catcher in the Rye. The number of people who have actually read it is zero. For decades, everyone's described me as a recluse. I'm not a recluse. I've been patiently waiting by the phone for someone to interview me about my book. But I guess first, someone has to read it. And it's not just my work that's affected. Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time has sold millions of copies. No human being has actually read it all the way through. Same goes for War and Peace, Ulysses, of Mice and Men. Let's stop faking it and start reading. And we'll find the answers to many of life's biggest questions. What did John Steinbeck have to say about both mice and men? Why does everyone want to kill that mockingbird? And why was 1984 such a great year? Pick up a classic today and figure out what happens in it. Because if we don't read them pretty soon, well, then we'll all just be like that Catcher in the Rye and... I can't actually remember the metaphor. Something about growing up and changing, I think. Not being phony. I can't remember. I never read it. I just wrote it that one time. I'm waiting for the movie version. What? I got busy. Oh, hey, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? It is awesome.
Sure, we all want romance in our lives, but who has the time? With work, the gym, and those kids you made, who can clear their schedule to tell their love how they really feel? Now you don't have to. Irrelevant Records is proud to introduce Love Auction, a collection of the most romantic words ever put to page, delivered by professional auctioneers. From the gorgeous words of Elizabeth Barrett Browning,
oh, do I love thee, let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. When feeling out of sight for the ends of being and I'll do grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight.
To the biblical beauty of the Song of Solomon.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead.
Love Auction says what you're longing to say in 1/16th of the time it would take you to say it. Did someone say Motown? I did, just then.
Oh, hey, baby, you set my soul on fire. That's why I know that you're my heart's only desire. Ooh, baby, here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
You'll be overcome with love and still have time to get to your Pilates class. Order now and you'll receive a second CD. Auctioneers help you break up.
Heard it from a friend who? Heard it from a friend who? Heard it from another you've been messing around.
Auctioneers read the most romantic words ever written. And auctioneers help you break up. Only on Irrelevant Records.
Hey, so!
You're listening to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius XM, coming to you today from Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta. For free podcasts of Irrelevant Show episodes or sketches, go to iTunes or our website, cbc.ca/irrelevantshow.
Today's episode of The Irrelevant Show is brought to you by the horrible realization that you watched 53 minutes of a Law & Order episode, then switched away during the commercial and got sucked into some other show, and now it's 5 past and you have no idea how Law & Order ended. That horrible realization that you'd watched 53 minutes of a Law & Order episode, then switched away during the commercial and got sucked into some other show, and now it's 5 past and you have no idea how Law & Order ended, proud sponsor of The Irrelevant Show.
By the way, here's what happened on Law & Order. The murderer was the loading dock foreman. You know, the guy who said, "Detective Stabler, was it? I've answered all your questions. If you'll excuse me, I've got a lot of work to do." It was that guy!
Although, for a while, it sure looked like it was today's musical guests, Kieran Martin Murphy and Jan Randall.
Well, I swim with sharks, I dive off cliffs, paddle white water rapids. I don't know no fear, no anxiety. If you base jump off a building, you can count on me. I skydive, I hang glide, demolition derby. But there's one thing that makes me freeze with fear. It's the sound that I hear once a year. It's the snap, snap of the glove. That's the one thing I'm petrified of. I know all the reasons, I've read all the facts, but I flinch when the doc says relax. Snap goes the glove. I miss my 20s and 30s when I was a young pup. I never cringed when I heard, "Just hop on up." My friends say, "How was the doctor?" But they don't look in my eyes. And my wife, for some reason, she does not sympathize. Well, it's the snap, snap of the glove. That's the one thing I'm petrified of. I know all the reasons, I've read all the facts, but I flinch when the doc says relax. Snap of the glove. Well, my daddy never told me, my brother didn't say a word. Nobody prepared me for the first time that I heard. Snap of the glove. When I drive to the doctor, I tremble and curse. In my mind, I know it could be a whole lot worse. But the hardest part, I'm telling you, man. Halfway through, he starts asking about my vacation plans. Well, in a minute, it's all over and everything is fine. That's the moment, the sweet moment, when I know my life is all mine. I walk in the sun, feel the warmth of its rays, knowing it's 364 days till snap of the glove. Snap of the glove. Oh, it's snap, snap, snap of the glove. Snap, snap, snap of the glove. Sing it. Snap, snap, snap of the glove. A little louder. Snap, snap, snap of the glove. Just the ladies. Snap.
number 40. Snap. Snap of the glove. Men, 39. Yeah, not so enthusiastic, 39-year-olds. Oh, yeah. Snap of the
Hello, my name is Sherald Star Whisper Alcorn, life guru. In seminars, in retreats, and in private sessions, I teach my students the secrets to life, secrets I have learned from the movies.
Sherald, what are the secrets of combat?
Ah, yes, the secrets of combat. To master combat in all its forms, you must learn movie combat math. For instance, in Lord of the Rings, if 20 orcs attack and you kill 20, how many orcs remain?
None?
No. The answer is 34.
But Master, how can that be?
That is orc math. Its laws are immutable. Similarly, you must master bullet math. Bullets are limitless and without end until you face your greatest foe, and then you shall both run out of bullets. Your guns will go click, 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 and they shall be useless. And that is the greatest teaching of the movies. Nothing is ever solved with guns. True resolution is found only through hand-to-hand combat.
And when the battle is over?
Yes, after the battle. Do not let your loved one clean the small cut on your face, because that hurts. Much more than any stab, burn, or kick. For the gentlest touch of love will make you flinch and scrunch up your face. For these are the teachings of the movies.
Welcome to Cloyters.
What?
Cloyters, the city's most vaguely depraved after-hours bar.
Cloytus?
Cloyters. Sound gross? It is gross. So gross, it's gross. Have a shot of our house-made cloint. That'll get your wiggle bobbling. Come into Cloyters, the most confusing nightclub in all of the town. Want to put some extra grebe in your flaint? Step into Cloyters. The hospital is on speed dial.
I'm sorry, are you saying Cloytus?
You heard me. Cloyters. The most outrageous pool of frelb you've ever made shrint at.
So what am I supposed to...
You're at Cloyters, friend. Show us that glaint before we bream your spliv.
I have no idea what you're talking about!
If you don't know, you've never been to Cloyters. And if you did know, you'd be sclurbs up in a vloive until the sun comes up.
Oh, I thought this was the Keg Mansion. You know the keg restaurant in the mansion?
No, you're at Cloyters. The only club where there are no rules, no understandable rules.
Well, the sign says keg.
It's spelled K-E-G, but it's pronounced Cloyters.
Do you guys have twice baked potatoes?
Are you asking if we crim quartz? Because if you are, the answer is most definitely cleef.
Cloyters, get weird, get wild, get crunt permanently. Cloyters,
now with twice-baked potato.
Dr. Mather to prosthetics. Dr. Mather to prosthetics.
Okay, Ms. Reynolds, we're almost done with your paperwork. All we need is a name for your emergency contact.
Sorry, my what?
Your emergency contact, the person you'd like us to notify in the event of a medical emergency.
Oh, I never thought about it.
Most people just put down their spouse.
Hmm, can it be anyone?
Or a family member?
Anyone, though?
We just need a name.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Benedict Cumberbatch, the star of Sherlock, The Fifth Estate. He did a great character turn in 12 Years a Slave. Benedict Cumberbatch.
I know who he is. It's just...
I want Benedict Cumberbatch. I want Benedict Cumberbatch to be my emergency contact.
Okay.
6 months later.
Doctor, will she make it?
At this point, it's impossible to...
Out of my way! Carol! Carol, can you hear me?
Benedict? Benedict Cumberbatch, is that you?
I am here, Carol. I am right beside you.
I don't know what happened.
You ran through a bee farm covered in pollen, Carol. And I'm pretty sure you did it on purpose.
No, no, Benedict Cumberbatch. I swear it was an accident.
Carol, you'll have to stop doing this. This is the 12th time I've had to come to Winnipeg in the last 6 months. And while it is an absolute gem of a city, I can't take this anymore.
It's just, you always come.
Of course I come. I am your emergency contact, girl. That is what emergency contacts do.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch, my emergency contact. My Benedurgency Cumbertact.
Carol. Getting to know you over the last 6 months has been the singular joy of my life. Talking with you while changing your bandages after you let those Shetland ponies stampede your lower body. Laughing with you during sponge bath time after you jumped into that kiddie pool filled with CLR and Axe body spray. French braiding your hair every time I've nursed you back to health. I have never been closer to another human being.
I feel the same way.
But Carol... When you hurt yourself, you hurt me.
I'm sorry, Benedict Cumberbatch, but to see you, to be with you, well, that's worth all the bee stings and Shetland pony stomps in the world.
Carol Reynolds, enough is enough. I want to be more than just your emergency contact. Carol Reynolds, will you marry me?
Yes, Benedict Cumberbatch, I will! I will gladly become Carol Dick Renberbatch.
Well, there's no medicine more powerful than true, beautiful love. Nurse, I think our work here is done.
Doctor, wait. I'd like to change my emergency contact to my husband. Benedict! Benedict Cumber, husband, what's wrong?
He seems to be having a heart attack brought on by pure joy. Nurse, quick, help me get him into the ER, and for God's sake, someone, call his emergency contact!
6 hours later.
Doctor, will he make it?
At this point, we really can't tell.
Out of my way! Out of my way! Ben! Benny boy! Are you all right?
Sean? Sean, is that you?
I'm here, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Your emergency contact is Sean Connery?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Ah, that's nothing. Mine's the ghost of Eleanor Roosevelt.
Join me, Sean. Join me on the other side.
In hindsight, she was a terrible choice.
Been listening to The Irrelevant Show, starring
Neil Gronn,
Mark Meir,
Jana O'Connor,
Amy Shostak,
and me, Donovan Workin.
Live music by Kieran Martin Murphy and music maestro Jan Randall. Live sound effects by Dave Clark. Sketches were written by Ian Boothby, Peter Brown, Kyle Dooley, Diana Francis, Carly Heffernan, Peter Stevens, with Peter Carlone, Sam Mullins, and Chris Wilson, and head writer Neil Gron. The show is recorded by Corey Haberstock and edited by Ray Buxton. The Irrelevant Show was produced and directed by Peter Brown and recorded before a live audience at Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
Next week on The Irrelevant Show, a guy named Clarence goes into an escape room where you have to find clues and solve puzzles to escape within the time limit.
Couldn't sleep. But I saw the reflection of the invisible ink in the mirror, and it says, "Look at the fireplace." Ha! That's it! I can use the fireplace as a forge to melt all these keys I keep finding! I'll fashion an axe and chop down the door!
Clarence versus the escape room, and also versus himself, next week on The Irrelevant Show.